You need to give some information on that. Aren't you giving away things and something's toys? And you come on up here. This is Cowgirl Van Zandt right here, ladies and gentlemen. Notice she's the one that wears the boots in the family. I have on. You can tell that I'm a drugstore cowboy. I have on regular shoes. We'll actually talk about that today.
No kidding. When we went to Oklahoma, we just did everything. We started out as youth pastors, and we literally took a horse barn and cleaned out the dung in wheelbarrow loads to clean it out and make a youth room out of it. So we're experienced.
Yeehaw.
Yes. After service, we're going to have a wonderful barbecue. I just really want to thank Ed again. He does such a great job helping us. We couldn't do it without you, Ed.
Cowboy shirt today, Ed, too.
Couldn't do it without you. And he's made that wonderful chicken. We've got a bunch of ribs. And we have a chili, and we've got Frito pies back there. We have a banana pudding contest. There's a potato salad contest. And lots of other things, but after the kids are going to have a pinata to break, and we're having a stick horse race with the kids. There's a egg relay, and there's an adult egg toss game. So we're going to do that.
Overhand or underhand?
Under.
Okay. Well, okay. I didn't know if we were going to take out aggression or what. Well, ladies and gentlemen, let me give you real quick right here. There's a couple cowboy sayings I want you to hear. These are cowboy sayings, and there's some really good wisdom in them. I'll use a little country talk just because I can. Always drink upstream from the herd. Any cowboy can carry a tune. Trouble comes when he tries to unload it. Generally, you ain't learning nothing when your mouth's jawing. If you find yourself in a hole, first thing to do is stop digging. Never approach a bull from the front, a horse from the rear, or a fool from any direction. Don't squat with your spurs on. Don't judge people by their relatives. Don't interfere with something that ain't bothering you none. It's better to be a has-been than a never was. The easiest way to eat crow is while it's still warm. The colder it gets, the harder it is to swallow. It don't take a genius to spot a goat in a flock of sheep. Sometimes you get, and sometimes you get got. The biggest troublemaker you'll probably ever have to deal with watches you shave his face in the morning, every morning. Letting the cat out of the bag's a whole lot easier than putting it back in. The quickest way to double your money is to fold it over and put it back in your pocket. You can't tell how good a man or a watermelon is till they get thumped. Here's my favorite one so far. There's only four more. Never miss a good chance to shut up. Man, don't you want to say that to some people? Son? You're missing a chance, what, to shut up? Just because trouble comes visiting, that doesn't mean you have to offer it a place to sit down. Here's my favorite last two. I left them for the last two. Treat a woman like a racehorse and she'll never be a nag. Right, girls? Here you go, fellas. Here's my last and my glory. There are two theories to arguing with a woman. Neither one of them works. Now, that's not my most favorite one. Is this? I'm going to show you a little short clip of a song that is my most favorite cowboy saying. That's what we're going to talk about today. Here it is, right here.
Yeah.
Talks a lot of bull, but's never milked a cow. He's all talk. Let me see, I'm gonna jump. Here's what's so funny. There's another song that would actually been better, but it's kind of risque in it. So I'm just gonna give you the first verse, and you might have already heard it by Trace Adkins. Everybody's familiar with him? Anyway, it's called All Hat and No Cattle, and here's the first verse that I can actually share with you. It says, see that boy standing there by the dance floor? He's looking like the Marlboro Man starch shirt, starch jeans, big trophy buckle, and an empty Copenhagen can. He's talking cowboy this and cowboy that. Well, I'll bet you one thing's for sure. The only stampede that he's ever seen is in the clearance at the Western store. He's all hat and no cattle. That boy just ain't real. All boots and no saddle. Don't know how to make a cowgirl feel. Think I'm going to tell him to pack up his act and go back where he came from, because all hat and no cattle ain't going to get it done. Yeehaw! The whole point of this, and even those cowboy sayings, is there's just so much wisdom in them. But here, I want to show you a couple of instances where this all hat and no cattle, you understand that all hat, no cattle, all boots, no saddle. It's who I am, actually. I'm all hat and no cattle. I'm dressed the part today, but I promise you, I have not milked a cow, and I have tossed hay. I did used to do that for a friend of mine, but I'm all hat and no cattle, just so you know. I'm confessing today. Here's the first example I want to show you. It's pretty funny. So there was this guy named Simon. He'd been a sorcerer. This was in the Acts, Church of Acts, remember that? And he said he'd been a sorcerer there for many years, amazing the people of Samaria and claiming to be someone great. So everyone, from the least to the greatest, often spoke of him as the Great One, the power of God. We need a title, don't we? And they listened closely to him because for a long time he had astounded them with his magic. But now the people believed Philip's message of the good news concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus. And as a result, many men and women were baptized. Well, then Simon himself believed, and he was baptized, and he began to follow Philip. He began to stalk Philip, it should say. He began to follow Philip wherever he went, and he was amazed by the signs and the great miracles that Philip performed. I think I stopped there. One more verse, maybe? No. Anyway, it goes on to say what happened was then John and Peter came because they was invited, and every time they would lay hands on people, they would be filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So Simon goes up to him and says, hey man, I will pay you, give me that gift. and of course they said, dude, you can't buy God's gift, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, they kind of threw him under the bus. He was literally all hat and no cattle. Here's my favorite one of these all hat and no cattle stories. This is my favorite story. This is the greatest story ever. It says, so here's, look at the Apostle Paul, pretty godly man here. God gave Paul the power to perform unusual miracles, and when handkerchiefs or aprons that had merely been touched his skin were placed on sick people, they were being healed of their diseases, and evil spirits were being expelled. Notice it was God who gave Paul this power, not somebody else. So watch this, verse 13. So a group of Jews was traveling from town to town, casting out evil spirits, and they tried to use the name of the Lord Jesus in their incantation, saying, I command you in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, to come out. Well, these seven sons, there were seven of them, seven sons of Caesar. A leading priest was the top one of these seven sons of Sceva, were doing this. But verse 15, but one time when they had tried it, the evil spirit replied, I know Jesus and I know Paul, but who are you? And then the man with the evil spirit leaped on him, overpowered him, attacked him with such violence that they fled from the house naked and battered. That is serious all hat and no cattle right there. There's so much fun in that for me because, you know, I think we all have used the word hypocrite and telling people, we're all hypocrites if we're honest. I mean, I'm a hypocrite right now because it means play acting, and I'm really not a cowboy. I don't have, well, I don't even have boots on. I don't have spurs. I don't have a, you know what, when we first moved here, we actually, what was his first name? Howington. He was the rodeo clown at the thing forever, Stockyards forever. So we first came here, we're California people, man. I mean, I've got on members only shirt and, you know, similar shoes to this, except they were Sperry's, and, you know, I mean, we're country. So he's like, man, I want you to come and I'll show you the green room, which I found out later was the backstage, and the kids were excited, and so I mean, of course, I'd lived in Texas, but I had never, look, there is a difference between people, there is a difference between drugstore cowboys and real cowboys. So we go to this thing called a rodeo, and we walk in. And I got blue jeans on. That's good enough, right? We walk in, and I look at them the same way they look at me. What in the world are you doing here? We're both thinking the same thought, right? And these were real cowboys. And when I say that, they had where the Copenhagen can was. It was faded out. You know what I'm saying? And they had poop on their boots and stuff. And I was way overdressed and thought I was underdressed because I didn't have a suit on, you know. And I was all hat and no cattle, although I didn't have a hat on. Here's where I'm headed with all this, ladies and gentlemen. There's other sayings. Have you heard the saying, all drive shaft and no engine? In England, they say, all mouth, no trousers. It's this complete thought of again, what Trace had said, all hat and no cattle. So I want to share with you the scripture. Here's what's so funny. We're going to talk about James. Let me share the scripture first, and then we'll talk about that a little bit. This is the scripture in James, which, by the way, let me stop before you put that up. James was the brother of Jesus. So here's what you need to really get out of this. Because here's what's so funny. Martin Luther, and we'll talk about him in a minute, he really hammered the book of James about being too much about works and stuff. And I don't, I'll get there. But what I want you to see is James had to have been the one with the most understanding of faith alone, simply because he was Jesus' brother. And when I say that, that means he was a kid with him. That means they played together. That means he saw him as a human being only. And so for him to finally come to the understanding that his kid brother, his stepbrother, though he didn't know it was his stepbrother, other than knowing that the Holy Spirit supposedly impregnated mom, his stepbrother, all of a sudden, he grabbed this understanding of him being who he was. And so why I'm saying that is, if anybody knew and understood anything about who Jesus is and had a hard enough time to believe it, it was him. Because again, he knew. That's why Jesus said, a prophet is without honor in his own country. Jesus would go home to his home country, and he could, a few people would be healed. And the reason was because nobody would believe that he would, because, well, I know that he's just a kid brother. So James ended up being the big senior pastor of the big church of Jerusalem. And when he wrote this letter, by the way, which is, it's called James, but it's because he wrote it. He wrote it not to just his congregation. He wrote it to believers as a whole, because I feel like he had a really good understanding of this thing called all hat and no cattle. And I believe that if Martin Luther had that same kind of epiphany and understanding of that, he would be down the same road. And I said all that to get to this scripture. And this is James. The first one, it says, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. Let me tell you what that word means. I wrote it here in my notes, and I didn't put it up there. Ba-da-bum-bum. Okay. It says, you must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling. It literally means that paralogica blah, blah, means you're not thinking right. So pay attention to this. So don't just listen to God's word. Now, when he says listen, what's he talking about? He's talking about God's word. Every single bit of it, yes, all of it. The parts of it, yes, everything. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. You're not thinking correctly. And then he says, for if you listen to the word and don't obey. Now, that obey word we have hammered forever. And that word I've used several times, but here's what it means. If you listen to the word and don't act on it and produce something. In other words, we don't just hear it. We got to act on it and produce it. But wait, I thought it is all about Jesus. But out of the flow of it being all about Jesus, something in us changes to where we do flow into these acts of love and service. It's just that simple and that true. So let me keep going with this. So he says it's like glancing at your face in the mirror and you see yourself and you walk away and you forget what you look like. Man, I think guys are worse than girls about it. The girls are real picky about the way they look. I think guys, we're the opposite. I really do. I think when we look in the mirror, we see us when we're 30 or 20. Right? And your girlfriends or your wives or your significant others, your sister, whatever, they look in there and they see everything wrong and stuff. But we look in there and we're like, man, you know, we'll do all this stuff, you know, and our stomach muscle's bigger than any other muscle that we have. But what happens is it's true. When we walk away from the mirror, we forget what we look like. So let's keep going on this. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. Now, this chunk underneath it where it starts with, but the one who bows, I did this actually probably about a month ago, and it's the same scripture for this, so I just plugged it back in here. So what I just read where it says 25, but if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. So here's what it literally means when you break it down in the original language. But the one who bows their head and carefully examines, inspects, and takes time to study the finished work of Jesus Christ will be happy and content in every area of their life. Do you want that? This completed work of Christ is the declaration of independence from the yoke of the Mosaic Law and provides the right to eliminate stuff that has no relationship to redemption or to true freedom. Now watch, this is what's important in this particular message. Those who earnestly continue in it and don't become forgetful and distracted listener, but rather an effective performer of it, will find fulfillment and be joyful, productive, and fruitful in all things. Look at that. You will find fulfillment in life, be joyful, productive, and fruitful in all the things that you touch because that you are learning and you're not being distracted and you're becoming an effective performer of it. It's people all the time. It's so different, man. When we were in California, you'd ask people if they knew Jesus, and for the most part, they really didn't know Jesus, his story, or nothing. Here, if you ask somebody if they're a believer, they simply say what church they go to. You know what I'm saying? I mean, when I first moved here, I'm like, okay, you know, do you know Jesus? Have you met with him? Have you talked with him? And you know, I go to the whatever, pick your poison, president. I go to the Presbyterian church. I go to the, and I'm like, I didn't ask you where to go to church. You know, come on. Just because I stand in my garage doesn't make me a car or a motorcycle or something. I can't just pick the brand. But do you get what I'm saying? It's amazing to me. And ladies and gentlemen of the jury today, we need to really understand something. This all hat and no sat. It's not about this horrific hypocrisy. It's all about as we honestly receive the depth of the love. For instance, I know some of it. I could feel it on my shoulder. When we were singing that song about how God is recklessly in love with us and he's coming after us and stuff, I know some of you are thinking, oh, I wish that were true. Listen something to me here clearly, please. The word's so clear. You didn't pick him. He picked you. Do you hear what I'm saying? Now, when I say that you get it. It's overwhelming if you'll get it. Because I don't give a rip what your theology says. I don't give a rip. Why am I saying rip? I haven't said that in years. It's because I'm all hat and no saddle. All hat and no saddle. See, I don't even say it right. All hat and no cattle. All boots and no saddle. Whatever. The bottom line is, stop it with you're not getting. Everything that we have sung today is true. Everything that I have taught in the last 100 years here is truth. But here's what I want you to see. Because what happens is people tend to, and even my wife sometimes, I feel like she feels like because of the strong message of who Jesus is and that it's by justification by faith alone. Life is. You cannot do anything to be more accepted by God than you already are. It's impossible. It's justification by belief in the system, in what Jesus did on the cross for us, and it's overwhelming and it's powerful and it's true. But there's more to that, because what happens is when you really start believing that, then it gets from into your heart and into this joyness down into your feet. And what the apostle, what James was saying, who was, I call him Pastor James, what he was saying is absolutely true. He's exposing grace people for not having feet to what they're supposed to be doing. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's not about us going out and thumping other people and telling them how. No, we speak truth and we speak about the love of Jesus and how awesome He is and how overwhelming He loves us. And it's all true. But ladies and gentlemen, when we start believing that, something happens and it starts flowing from us to other people. That's the natural process of it. And that's where we need to get off our rear ends, our bottoms, our saddles. And I hope that just dumped a ton of guilt on you right there. So here's, I want to get to these notes because here's the meat of it and then I'll be done. James sent this letter to all Christians, not just to his congregation. And here's what I love. It's practical Christian wisdom. It's practical. It's adding cattle to your property. Do you get it? All hat, no cattle. Well, he adds cattle to your property. Now watch this. So, Martin Luther called the book of James, he called it the Epistle of Straw. I mean, he really disgusted with it, and here's why. He railed against the belief that we can live righteous enough to be accepted by God. He felt the church was focusing too much on works in order to get to heaven, as opposed to receiving the gift of unconditional grace from God through Jesus. Luther felt that the rule-keeping days of the Pharisees and Sadducees were over because of the free gift of grace through Jesus Christ. And ladies and gentlemen, Martin Luther was exactly correct. He was spot on. He was right where he was supposed to be. He told the complete, total truth. But what bothered him about James is, I think, because what happens is when we really start getting the understanding and the revelation of who Jesus is and what He did for us and how cool it is and how it's not about me anymore, it's about Him, we become, and I actually talked to this about with me and my daughter Charity, we become the grace police. And Martin Luther, he was so heavily involved in the Old Testament heavy-handedness of what was going on. When he finally saw the freedom in the justification of faith and faith alone, he was refreshed by it. So then to him, what James was saying was completely opposite, because James was saying faith without works is dead. But James didn't use the word ergon when he's talking about works. He used a word that's, in fact, as I have it in the scripture, he used a word that is talking about produce. For instance, like the Holy Spirit produces fruit in us. That's what he wasn't talking about the works of the, and I'll show you in scripture how clear that is. But anyway, I just want you to understand, Martin Luther was 100% correct, but I wish this he would have understood the all hat no cattle thing, because I think he would have gained a better understanding of this. Because here's the truth. We are made right because of what God did, expressing His extreme love for us through Jesus and His work on the cross. But James knew, and he exposed those who don't put feet to grace. When you have people who talk about grace and say about grace, and when they throw this up to you, because they will, man, you know, you're just saying anybody can do anything they want. No, I'm not, and that is ridiculous to think that way. That is absolutely not the truth. The truth is, Jesus took care of everything on the cross, but it to the point that when we believe it, it affects us and we start moving into that direction. So, James knew, but he exposed those to put feet to the grace. In fact, here's the next two verses of the verses I just read. In the message, he put it, says it's this way. Look. It says, anyone who sets himself up as religious. Pause. That word religious, I want to explain to you. Let's just marinate there for a second. That word religious literally means worship. Worship. Okay, now that's really bizarre, because when people say, are you religious, that means you worship. Now when we have an understanding of worship, what is worship? This is what worship is, for us to give glory. We love that word, right? Worship and glory to God. All right, understand what the word glory means is elevating the reputation and or understanding of the one that you are giving glory to. So here we are, we're going to worship to give glory, and James is saying, which nobody else hardly ever said, and he made it so clear, that's what I love about him, is your worship to God, your religion to God, has all to do with what you are doing and loving with other people. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's not about us going, oh, okay, now when do we kick into praise? Praise is different than worship. Praise is adulation and giving the glory, that the verbal glory to God, so that His reputation and His understanding of who He is and our understanding of who He is increases and gets bigger. Man, that's praise. But worship gets down into our feet. Worship is when, you know, you've heard it said a million times, when we take up the tithe and offering at the church and we're going to continue our worship. That's really sometimes the beginning of worship. Because that's what worship is. Worship is putting feet to what we're doing. So when he's saying anyone who sets himself up as being, as worshiping God, is what that literal meaning of that word means, worshiping, all right? So anyone who sets himself up as religious by talking a good game is self-deceived. You're deceiving. We're deceiving ourselves when we just talk a good game. Look, this kind of religion is all hat and no cattle. Now, I've said that. Is hot air and only hot air. Why? Because we can say we worship, but if our worship isn't being produced out of what we do inside of us, and ladies and gentlemen, that's why Jesus said it, it's not the spaghetti, he didn't say spaghetti, but I am, not the spaghetti that you eat that defiles you, but it's what comes out of your mouth and the words that you say. Man, I'm telling you, our worship is what comes out of us, all right? So, verse 27, real religion, the kind that passes muster before God and the Father, is this: reach out to the homeless. And we'll stop there and say, man, we are all that in a bag of chips. And the loveless. What would a loveless, what would that mean? If I am loveless, that means I have hate. So what is this saying? So it's to reach out to the homeless and to those who hate in their plight. Whether it's people who hate their life, who hate other people, or even to the point of people who might hate you. You want to worship God? Woo, I'm going to worship Him today. You ain't got to sing a song to worship Him. It's pretty powerful stuff. And the only way we get it, the only way we'll properly worship is when we properly understand Him and who He is. Do you understand that? In other words, for years and years and years, I viewed God as that big 800,000-pound eyeball ever searching the earth to squash me like a bug and send me to hell when I do one thing wrong. That was my view of Him. So my worship to that was not real and not pure, because you understand what I'm saying? So when I started understanding that good night, He is for me, not against me. He died for me and me, if it was only me, and He loves me more than I could ever love Him, and I'm declared righteous because of what He did, and every time God looks at the cross, He sees me, but when God looks at me, He sees Jesus. I'm getting all this thing, and it's starting to become alive in me, and all of a sudden my worship and my glory, my understanding, my opinion of God is increased and gets bigger and bigger, and then at that point is when it starts leaking out. That's why faith without the producing of what the Holy Spirit does in us is dead. There's no value to it. It's not people, and Martin Luther felt this too. And this James is always the one when you start speaking about Jesus and how powerful He is and the grace, the undeserved and the unmerited favor, whatever you want to call it. Anytime you start speaking about that, that's when people come in and they throw James at you. James fits hand in hand with who Jesus is, man. It's just, it's not about, well, I've got the perfect scripture for you, but we don't want to give you the word, right? You just want to hear me talk. Let me finish this point. So reach out to the homeless and the loveless in their plight and guard against corruption from the godless world. Here's what James is saying. He is reminding those of us who are Christ followers, Christ believers, those who believe that Christ did everything he said he did and loves us with that deep love, he's reminding us that there's no room to pretend. Man, you can't fake love. You can't fake it. This is what I love about little children. Little children are drawn to me. It makes me uncomfortable sometimes because everybody's all, you know, because of life nowadays. I mean, where were we? We were, I tell you what, I'll give you one here. I was here, Cece had her little niece or nephew, or maybe it was Sylvia, whoever was here. And I walk into the up front, and she walks over and wants me to hold her. And they freak out. They're like, man, she doesn't like anybody she doesn't know. And I promise you, it's not because I'm such a good guy. It's the Jesus in me. We'll be anywhere. And we have to be careful because, you know, if you go to Disney World, man, there's tons of kids there. And all of them want you. And they want to hold you and stuff. And all these parents look at you like, and we're like, you know what? It's not our fault that we got Jesus in us. Children can see that. That's why Jesus said, man, come to me like a child. Kids know it. In the day that a child doesn't want to be near me, well, I'd say that, but we've actually had kids that grow up in this church because sometimes I get loud when I'm speaking and they'll see me after church and they look at me like, oh my God, that's that guy that yells and he's going to yell at me. Then they'll kind of look at me weird. But after a while, they warm up and stuff. But my point is, when you can't fake that love. You can't produce your own fruit. It is a work of the Holy Spirit. And listen very carefully. That work that works in me, and I'm telling you, I've got to see it in the last 10, 12 years more than I've ever seen it, simply because I believe more than I've ever believed in the truth of who He really crazy loves me. And He crazy loves you. And you know what the coolest thing is? He doesn't love me more than you, but the even cooler is He doesn't love me less than you. You get it? See, because I don't look like the self-hate guy, but I have been. Man, walk in that. And quit listening to the echoes of your past that tries to present something to your present that has nothing to do with your future. Right where you are, you're sitting today, not by accident, but because Jesus is like, you know what? I'm going to make that crazy cowboy preacher today. Last time you'll see this hat on me, by the way. I'm gonna plant him right in his face to tell you that you need to believe how much he loves you. Amen. It's that simple. It really is that simple. Amen. Amen. Sorry, I interrupted that service. All right. I'm gonna stay on. I didn't say it. I'm gonna stay right here. Man, last week when you wasn't here, I said on point like 100 times, on purpose. I was on point, on purpose, on point. I love you too. I know. So now that I got off point, okay. So, there is no embracing of Jesus' work on the cross that has happened in our lives if we don't reflect that we have really... Let me read it the way I wrote it. There is no embracing of Jesus' work of the cross if our lives don't reflect that we have really embraced Him. Guys, there is no such thing as good moral living without a loving heart for your neighbor. There's just not. And we've got to put feet to that. You know, when I said that a while ago, you know, we're going to get off our bottoms. We can't become complacent. Watch this. Not in doing at a church. You can't become complacent in loving folks. Listen, those of you who've been here a while, you should be knocking down your friends' doors to get them here because you know that they're going to be loved no matter what the situation is. I had a friend come up to me, this has been a couple years back. He's like, man, I finally talked my drug addict friend to come into church. I said, good, man, he won't have an excuse now. And he looked at me really funny, you know, like I was going to hammer him or something. He said, what do you mean? I said, because now he's going to be totally accepted and loved. He's totally accepted and loved, so he can't look at the church and say, see how they are? See, when the Word says to speak the truth in love, you can actually get away with speaking the truth, and I get away with it here all the time. I do, because I used to apologize for making people laugh and stuff. I felt bad. I would tell God, you know, God, like I taught this men's thing, and I was raw, dude. I was raw. I mean, I didn't use anatomically correct terms. I used street terms, and I was really concerned about that. And I was kind of like before the Lord, and I'm like, God, I'm so sorry. And I was reminded how much they were laughing and stuff, and I'm like, and I apologize for the laughter. You know, I'm just telling God how bad I was for doing this. And this song came to me, and again, this is how God speaks to me. It's not a ticker tape or anything. You know, it was, this had to be God, because here's the song. A spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down, the medicine go down. And by the way, I didn't get it at first. I'm like, God, what are you throwing Mary Poppins at me for? I'm praying here. Come on, you're getting secular on me, God. And it just kept going. Spoon, spoon. So finally I started singing. Okay, spoon. Why can't we do supercalifragilistic? A spoonful of sugar helps a man in the most delightful. And then I just fell apart, because that's what God was saying. I can't tell you the people who've come up to me after service and said, man, when I was laughing, it was killing me. And I just look at them and go, like I knew it first. Well, a spoonful of sugar helps a man in the most delightful way. And it makes you fat as a pig, by the way, if you do that spoonful of sugar. So there is no such thing as good moral living without loving a heart. Watch this. Here's a real good one. Good moral behavior without active love for others and a passion for Jesus and what he's incorporated in is nothing less than narcissism. You know what a narcissist is? It's a big word. The best way to... Here's how to... You know how a narcissist changes a light bulb, they hold it, and the world evolves around them. Okay? In fact, to be honest with you, pure narcissism, they don't even recognize that they're narcissistic. In other words, they don't recognize that it's all about them. They will do some of the most incredibly dumb things that are completely about them and about them alone. And you can even confront them and say, man, why did you do that? That was so selfish. And they will be shocked. That's how we can become with Christianity, especially when we start understanding and loving and receiving this. I'm asking God to break your heart. I'm asking him to break your heart with that understanding and giving the passion in your heart so that you can give that to other people. How cool would it be if we could just go up to people and say, hey, man, you know what? I don't care what you've done. He did it all for you on the cross. Listen to me. I'm going to tell you right now, if you're sitting here, you don't have to change nothing. Oh, man, that's... You don't. Will you change? Oh, of course you will if you start getting it. If you start believing it and receiving the depth of the love that he has for you. It's crazy, scandalous, ridiculous love. I don't get it, but I try to receive it. And now that I've received it, I'm learning I can give it to everybody else, even those of people that get on my last nerve. Even people that I hate. Wow. You hate me? Never. So, faithful discipleship is not checking off a list of good doings. You know, well, you know, I know we got holidays coming up, so I'm gonna volunteer for the Harvest Fest, and I'm gonna volunteer for the Thanksgiving feeding, and I'm gonna volunteer for the Christmas feeding, and we're going to do this and praise God and hallelujah, and we just do this good dude list. That is not what James is talking about either. He's not talking about the law. He knew just as well as we all did that the law is done. I'll show you here in the scripture in a minute. The point is this. Here, I just wrote this, and I thought, well, I'm just going to let y'all read it with me. This is what I wrote. Write it. If people can't look at you and me and see that we are different from other people in the world, not as a result of good moral living, but rather from an experiential expression of the Holy Spirit's reflection of God's love and grace, then Haltom City, we have a problem. Do you get that? I want you to get that in your heart. Because when people say it you know, you cannot, there's nothing you can do to achieve your ticket to heaven, nothing. Christ did it all on the cross. But incorporating what he did on the cross is when he says he gives us the power to overcome sin, where does that power come from? That power comes from the Holy Spirit as we walk our life out. Now that he has replaced the shame, condemnation, and guilt of all the doo-doo that we've done or will ever do, now we need to put our feet to an understanding and let the Holy Spirit do what he said he's going to do, which is grow fruit in us, man. And growing stuff's a whole lot. I'd rather be like Simon. Hey, man, let me buy that. I'll give you $100 for that gift. Man, because growing fruit can be messy. Watering and manure and pruning and just all, what a mess. And harvesting and everybody taking credit for it. Man, taste this apple. My friend just gave it to me. Well, you don't even know what your friend just did to get that apple. You need to name that apple after your friend. Here's my conclusion, ladies and gentlemen, right here. This hoped shout will give you an understanding of what I'm just saying right here. Owe nothing to anyone. We won't stay there because we all owe stuff. Except for your obligation to love one another. Now watch. If you love your neighbor, you will fulfill the requirements of the law. Listen to me. James knew this. James was not trying to pull us back into the law. He was not. This is what he understood. Now, this is Paul writing, which, by the way, Paul exposed all hat and no cattle. John exposed all hat and no cattle. Jesus exposed all hat and no cattle. That's what he did all the time with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. All hat and no cattle. But when Jesus died and he rose again, and now it's all about him and him alone, then the Jewish people or whoever else that was coming in to accept Jesus just for who he is started adding stuff to it. James saw it and said, man, if you've got to add these produced works in your life, or your faith's not worth anything, what good would it do? If I just tell you, Ed, man, you know how much Jesus just loves you and loves you and loves you more than anybody else could ever love you, man. Now, I don't really like you, but Jesus loves you. You see what I'm saying? No, because that's really what we do. You know, man, Steve, I know what you're saying is right. Well, then start practicing that practically. This church should be filled with all them people you hate. You want to blow somebody away that you hate? Invite them to church. I've shared the stat, and I love this stat. They did a, Barna, who does mostly Christian stuff, he interviewed 1,000 people, 1,000 people that do not attend church. And he says to them, he asked them all these questions, or he asked one question, why don't you attend church? And here they came. It's too long, it's too short, it's too, they asked for all they want is my money, it's too hot, it's too cold. They had all these reasons. Then he turns around and asks one more question to these 1,000 people. 85% of them said they would go to church if somebody asked them. All these people gave them, 1,000 people gave reasons why they don't go. 85% of them said, well, yeah, if somebody asked me, I'd go. So that guy or girl you hate at work, go up to them tomorrow and say, they'll think you're crazy or drunk or something. Why don't you come to church with me? And when they say, well, tell me about your church, just tell them what I tell them when they call. People call the church office. I just say, look, not being rude, just come one time, you'll love it or hate it. And it's true, you love it or hate it. I mean, people will stand up and walk out. People come and walk in, whatever. I don't get mad that they leave. Just don't get mad for me staying. That's it. This is important here. So if you love your neighbor, you fulfill the... Do you hear that? So if you're thinking you've got to live the law, all the thou shalt nots, the Ten Commandments or whatever, then all you have to do to accomplish all of the laws, which there's tons of them, God, going to Leviticus, even your animals couldn't do wrong. You'd be in trouble. I'm serious, man. You couldn't do nothing. You can't do nothing. But all of those are incorporated in this one thing, to love my neighbor. And then here, look, he explains it. Paul explains it. Number 9, for the commandments say you must not commit adultery. Right? Thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. These and other commandments are all summed up in the one commandment, love your neighbor. How does that work? Because let me tell you something, if you love your neighbor, you're not going to want to be going to bed with her or him. If you love your neighbor, you're not going to be stealing from them. Do you see this? Do you see why it's all attached to this one thing called love? And as simplistic as that seems, is the power that's in it. It's just as simplistic as it seems that I don't have to do absolutely anything because Jesus did it all on the cross. The same principle exists in this. I don't have to do anything but love other people, and it's a natural process of what Jesus did for me. And that makes life happy. So, he says, these and all these others are summed up in the one command. Verse 10, love does no wrong to others. Now, stop right there. Instead of thinking, oh my God, I did this guy wrong. Stop it. You're focusing on you. How many times do I have to tell you? We focus on Jesus, not on us. We become Jesus conscious, not self-conscious. Jesus conscious, not self-righteous. Jesus conscious, not self. So the second you say, because the enemy's going to try to tell you, love does no wrong to others, so he's going to remind you of all the wrong you've done to others. All you do is tell him, you're a work in process. That's why I love the fact that it's called the fruit of the Spirit. Because it takes time to grow. It's not an automatic thing. This is what, especially in our day and time, we want things now. I was at Taco Bell the other day, and they were like 3 minutes in, and I'm ready to shoot them. Where's my food? It's been 3 minutes. A whole song is played on my radio. Yes, it was a worship song, but that's not the point. Love does no wrong to others. Watch this. So love fulfills the requirements of the law. If you go through Scripture, it's everywhere. Man, if you could just go to just 1 John chapter 4, he says love one another a billion times. I think I'll have to do a study, but I think love one another is used in the New Testament like 120 times or something. Love one another, love another, love one another. And then we've always used the excuse, well, that's talking about Christian believers. Stop it. The Bible doesn't say God so loved the Christian world that he gave. Jesus wasn't even here yet. I can't do this. You're exactly right, you can't. And neither can I. But when I recognize that I can't, he can. I want you to get that. When I see that I can't do this, I can't stop being mean. I can't. That's exactly right. I can't, but he's bigger than that. I am the righteousness of God in Jesus. I'm constantly reminded that I'm not, but I'm proclaimed that I am. Instead of standing in my condition of who I am, I'm going to stand in my position in Jesus. Do you get that? Yes, we're in lousy condition. Let's go into our position. And in our position, and we receive that and all that, man, all of a sudden, we have a passion. We have a passion to love and serve others. I love people now, and this is just being honest, and I'm not bragging. I love people now that I could not stand before. And I can give you a list of reasons why I could justify it. But life is not justified by my opinion. Life is justified by Jesus alone. And Jesus said, I came to give you Zoe life, which is a whole big balloon, and to give it to you abundantly. He offers this incredible thing, but it's our egos that keeps us in the way of wanting to do this. So, I'm going to read my last words and then I am complete. All hat, no cattle. This was true of the Pharisees of the day, and Jesus exposed them. I said that. It was also true of the believers in Jesus' day, and James exposed it, John exposed it, Paul exposed it. All of them exposed it, and the whole exposition was what? The handle to everything that flows in life is love. For God so loved the cosmos, the world, that he gave his Son. And then that it flows into us, and our entire being, our handle of our entire being should be from that love. I want to be the Ryobi that has the tools on it. You know, the screwdriver here, and the drill here, and the saw here. But the root is love. Let that, and as when that is in me, man, it's really cool, and love can flow, and it really flows. And I get this passion and this desire for people to see and understand you can be set free. When I finally reached the point of knowing I'm not less than other people, I was set free. And some struggle with thinking that they're more than somebody. No, sir. So I wrote another quote. I didn't put this one up there, but I'm going to finish it with this. Scripture is abundantly clear that we have been set free from the works of the law. Absolutely. It's abundantly clear. But Scripture is also abundantly clear that we have been bound to the works of the Holy Spirit and the fruit that He produces in our lives. And it's time we get off our bottoms and intensify our loving and serving others. When we get it, I am the best salesperson for Jesus because I believe in Him. Do you hear me? Don't try to get me to sell an Isuzu vehicle. Well, they don't even make them no more. I couldn't do it. Well, you know, this car's pretty cheap. Well, tell me about it. Well, it's pretty cheap. But you know what? We've had Hyundais forever. My little Jeep, I love my little Jeep. I'll tell you everything about it. Why? Because I love my Jeep. I'm the best commercial for my Jeep. They should give me a discount next time because I talk about my Jeep. I love it. It's remote start. I got rack and pinion steering. I feel like I'm in a go-kart, a big pregnant go-kart. And I drive down the street, and it's a 9-speed automatic, so you don't even feel it shifting. And it will scoot like I want to scoot, and it will stop, and the cop sees me. And you hear me? I love my car, so I talk about my car. I'm talking about somebody who loves you. I want to talk about somebody who loves you. I've said it 1,000 times. I can't brag about my love for Him. I screw up. But I can shout from the roof how much He loves me. Holy smoke. He loves me. Because He loves me. Because He loves me. Because He loves me. Because He loves me. And because of that, I love you. Because I love you, because I love you, because I love you, because I love you. See, we're just having a little love fest right here. Cowboy love fest right here. What'd you do at church? Say, oh, we had a cowboy love fest. And then Steve's wife came up and interrupted him while he was having this love fest. My little cowgirl. See, there's the mirror thing I told you about. Oh, I know it is. I sweat when I...
Here's the thing. It's not faith or works. It's not faith and works. It's faith that works.
Bada bing.
Okay? So let's remember, my faith needs to be working out what I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So, would you just stand with me for just a minute? Just had such a beautiful time of worship today and loving on the Lord and letting Him love on us. Father, we just thank You today that Your love, God, doesn't make me better than anyone else. But Your love, oh God, keeps my focus on You and not what I get right or what I get wrong. So I'm not thinking too highly of myself or too low, because I'm always going with You and with Your flow. Lord, move us today. Move us today, God, where we love You more than the biggest prized possession we have on this earth. Just help me, God. Help me, God, to put You first, because I know You'll take care of everything else. We just thank You for that, Father. In Jesus' name. And they all said, amen.
You going to pray for the food?
Go ahead and pray. All the girls who need to go work, if you'll just go ahead. We have just a couple things to do. But the ladies who are working, if you'll just go ahead and take your place.
You're not a lady, Ed, but we'll let you go.
Today, it's going to go really fast, the food line. So for $10, you get your choice of 2 meats, chicken, ribs, or chili. And all the trimmings with that. We've got some contests going, but did anybody here bring more than five people with them to church this morning? Would you raise your hand? Anybody bring with them more than five people?
Right here.
Okay. Anybody bring more than six people? Okay. Still hand? Another hand up?
Did you see one?
Mike.
Oh.
Man.
How many you got here, Michael?
Okay.
Six
seven.
Or seven. Anybody got beat seven?
Okay. Michael, you win the prize today for bringing the most people.
If I just would have brought Charity and Daryl and family, I'd have beat you.
Amen. We're going to say a blessing over the food so that when we get ready to go, you can just go ahead and there's two serving lines and you can just go ahead and get in line to eat. Let's see. Bryce, come on up and say the blessing for us over this food. He's ready. He's anointed. He's feeling it.
All right. Thank you, God, for this day, and I just want to pray for over the food, God. I just ask that you will bless it, and I just want to say thank you for all these people that are in attendance today. I pray that they can go back there in fellowship and just enjoy the community of the church.